Chapter 18.
I was pretty sure that Corpse Taker was talking about me, and I knew for sure that getting killed was a bad thing. I just couldn't figure out how to go about doing something to stop it. Something about my mind, that it wasn't working right. A battered-looking man entered my field of view, and I was able to turn my head enough to watch him. Oh, crap. It was Li Xian, the ghoul. I had a bad feeling that he was going to do something unpleasant, but he just stuck his hand in my coat pocket and pulled out the slender copy of Earl King. The ghoul turned away from me and offered the book to someone out of my field of view. There was the sound of flipping pages.
Excellent, Corpse Taker said. Take him back from the street and finish him. Hurry. He's stronger than most. I'd rather not hold him all day.
Oh, right. Corpse Taker was holding my mind captive. That meant that she was in my head. That meant she had beaten my defenses down. Just pulling those thoughts together made me feel stronger. My head started clearing, and as it did, the pain in my wounded leg grew more intense.
Hurry,
she said, her voice now strained. Rough hands seized the back of my coat. I wanted to run, but I still couldn't get everything to respond together. An inspiration seized me. If Corpse Taker was in my head, it meant that she could feel everything I was feeling, such as the burning pain in my leg. When the ghoul started pulling me backward, I couldn't struggle, but I managed to twist my hips a little and bend my good knee. I fell over sideways onto the wounded leg. The fall drove the shuriken a little harder into my calf, and the world went white with pain. Corpse Taker shrieked. I heard a metallic clatter as if she had stumbled into a trash can, and I felt my arms and legs come all the way back under my command. The ghoul stumbled on his mangled leg. He pushed off the wall and came at me. I spun on the small of my back and kicked out hard and straight at his good knee. That's a nasty defensive technique Murphy taught me, and one that doesn't rely upon raw physical power. The ghoul's weight was all on that leg, and the kick connected hard. There was a grinding pop, and he let out a splitting snarl of pain. I scrambled away from him on one leg in the heels of my hands. I could see my blood on the floor of the alley, smeared in a trail from my wounded leg. There were little stars fluttering through my vision, and I felt as weak as a starved kitten. Everything was spinning around so much that I didn't even bother to get to my feet. I crawled out of the cold shadows of the alley, onto the sidewalk, and into broad daylight. I heard someone shout something. There were police sirens a block or two away. They were doubtless heading for Box Place, after someone had seen me throw the ghoul out through the plywood-covered door. Give them 2 minutes to sort out what was going on, and I'd have men with silver shields and a strong desire to speak to the dead professor's missing assistants all around me. Of course, by then, I'd probably have been dead for a minute and a half. The wounded ghoul, his face twisted, jaws lolling open wide to show yellowed fangs, came shambling out of the alley after me. I heard a woman shout, the sound high and furious and totally unafraid. There was a whooshing sound, a spinning shape, and then an axe, a freaking double-bladed axe, buried itself to the eye in the ghoul's flank. Just as it hit, there was a flash of light from a spot on the blade, so bright that it left a red mark in the shape of a single rune burned into my vision. There was a loud bark of sound as the axe hit the ghoul. The creature was thrown forcefully to the sidewalk, and thin, greenish-brown fluid sprayed everywhere in a disgusting shower. A woman in a dark business suit stepped into my line of sight. She was better than 6 feet tall, blonde, and coldly beautiful. Her blue eyes burned with battle lust and excitement as she drew a sword with a straight 3-foot blade from the scabbard at her side. As I watched, she took several smooth steps to place herself between the ghoul and me. Then she pointed the tip of the sword at him and snarled,
"Avant, carrion!"
The ghoul tore the axe from his side and staggered into a crouch, holding the weapon in both hands with a panicked desperation. He took a pair of awkward, shuffling steps back. An engine roared, and a gray sedan swerved up onto the sidewalk.
"Avant!"
cried the woman. Then she raised the sword,
and glided toward the ghoul. Li Xian didn't want any part of it. His inhuman face twisted in recognizable fear. He dropped the axe and fled back down the alley. "Coward," the woman sighed, clearly disappointed. She snatched up the axe, then said to me, "Get in." "I know you," I said. "Miss Guard, you work for Marcone." "I work for Monarch Securities," the woman corrected me. Her hand clamped down on my arm like a slender steel vise, and she hauled me to my feet without effort. My wounded calf clenched into a nasty cramp, and I could feel the steel blades continuing to cut at my muscles. I clenched my teeth, snarling my defiance at the pain. Guard gave me a quick glance of approval and tugged me toward the gray sedan. I still had to hobble on my staff, but with her help, I made it to the car and fumbled my way into the back seat. More hands pulled me in. The whole time, Guard kept her sharp, cold blue gaze on the alley and the street around us. Once I was in, she shut the door, sheathed the sword, and unclipped the scabbard from her belt before getting into the passenger's seat. The gray sedan pulled out into the street again and started away from the scene.